Thanks, Olga. This is the second round of a SARE-sponsored grant. We had an initial one in 2005. We expanded it, had the curriculum pretty well developed, but we wanted to add to it a little bit. And you can see all the different states we involve, pretty much the Northwest. And this was a SARE-sponsored project with a grant of $71,000. And with this, we were able to provide 14.5 CEU credits for Certified Crop Advisor and 16 credits for Certified Range Management Professional Program. The objectives were to try to help students learn fundamentals of forage plant structure, growth and development, physiology, management, nutritional value, and contributions to agricultural sustainability. One of the real advantages of forages are their perennial nature and the ability to be sustainable. And one of the ways to do this, we essentially modeled this after the alfalfa intensive training course, to where it's very comprehensive and covers all the way from genetics to utilization. And so that was the idea behind this. So we wanted to really teach concepts that, and this was a professional development, so we want to be able to have extension personnel and NRCS and seed industry be able to explain how forage plants function, how they would respond to defoliation. They need a better, deeper understanding of that than the standard grazing schools that are put on. So that was the impetus behind this. And we want to think of this as a system because, again, that's one of the benefits of forages and perennial nature is the sustainability of it. And we did this through lab and field exercises and some lecture. And again, we want to emphasize principles and relationships. And we get a lot of, it's a tremendous diversity in the West, elevations. We can go from sea level to, I think our highest study site was 6,500 feet elevation. It can freeze any month of the year. But if the students understand the principles behind these, it pretty well goes across all these environments. Some of the key aspects are that we wanted a 3 full-day program, 8 hours a day. We wanted it to be comprehensive. We wanted it to cover all the way from seed to utilization. We wanted it to be low cost, and the grant certainly helped with that. Regional project, and there's few enough of us that we really do need to help each other and not reinvent the wheel. Multidisciplinary. We brought in soils people, entomologists, plant pathologists, geneticists, wherever we needed that expertise. And again, modeled after a successful alfalfa intensive training symposium. It combined lectures and other activities. This is my colleague Steve Franson from Prosser, Washington. We got to call in him Pastor Franson, and he delivered a sermon on the sins of overgrazing, and very passionate about it. He holds the record of had a PowerPoint presentation up, and he never got off the title slide. He just went for an hour, and he had plants that every student have, and he was explaining how they grow and what happens if you defoliate them. And so we got to the end, and we go, Steve, why did you bother with the PowerPoint? Of course, he had the highest ratings out of any of us, and they said, we'll give Steve more time, and so we give Steve more time, and he takes more time. But, part of that enthusiasm really works, and the experience. The other part of it is lab projects. There's a certain amount of it that just fits very well here. ID, plant morphology, seedling ID, some of those things. So we tried to do as much hands-on as we could. And then in the field, very important, where you can actually demonstrate people are more relaxed, you can form small groups, and if you have enough instructors, you know, with that small group, an instructor can kind of help answer questions and lead discussions, and it just works very good. Another thing we found to work extremely well is to, you know, think about this, stage some demonstrations, and you have to think about this and plan them out. So we had a variety of, depending on, you know, where we were located, different demonstrations. In this case, this was Mount Vernon, Washington, and they just used a lawnmower in a pasture to cut at different frequencies and different stubble heights. And that actually worked real well, so the students can see, okay, here's the response from defoliation 2 weeks ago at 4 inches stubble height versus 2 inches stubble height. Extremely valuable to have that so that they can see. And apparently the wind blows really strong in all four directions here in this Colorado pasture. This was actually kind of a sacrifice, early spring pasture, and this had the benefit of helping the producer understand what was going on. So they put these series of small exposures out at every week for 5 or 6 weeks. This allowed us to dig up the plants, and it's a little hard to see there, but if you'll notice over here, very short stubble height, and notice the roots, or lack of roots, compared to over here that had 6 weeks of rest. So this really, you know, it's something very visual. Just don't be afraid to dig and show what was happening there. Seedling ID is very important. It's, you know, it's very easy to, if a forage plant has a great big seed head on it, almost anybody can identify it. But with extension, or particularly the seed industry, a lot of their calls are on seedling ID. Is this what I planted, or is it a weed? And that's much harder. So we spent an hour trying to lead students through a way of keying based on vegetative characteristics, not inflorescence. We took advantage of research plots where we had them, and quite a variety of what was available. But again, very, very good tools, and we used them to for plant ID and the morphology exercises that we did in the field. It was difficult to do, but where we could, this happened to be at Colorado State, where they, again, we thought this out and pre-planned and demonstrated the effects of ultra-high stock density on the left there that you can see, versus I think that was about a 50,000 pound live weight per acre on the right. Group discussions, very important. Again, this is professional development, so a lot of these folks have some knowledge, and it's just a matter of cultivating that and sharing. I know I always learned new things too by visiting different areas and different situations, so it was excellent. Field exercises, again, wherever we can, having the students in a small group have to clip. They learn real quick. That takes a lot of time, and is even though it's the basis of determining forage production, it has a lot of error involved. We also had some excellent producer examples, sometimes bad, sometimes real good. In this case, this was up in the Lemhi Valley of central Idaho, the Eagle Valley Ranch. One of the criticisms we get as small plot researchers in agronomy are, you know, the producers will say, well, yeah, that worked in your small plot or a small pasture. It won't work in my operation. You heard that. Yeah, I see lots of nodding. Well, in this case, they've got 600 cow-calf beef pairs, so strike that, you know. And in this case, Jerry Elzinga there in the white hat, white baseball cap, tall guy, every 2 weeks he does a pasture inventory. And he records that. It only takes him 2 to 4 hours on several thousand acres. He does it real quick. But he then enters that data in a spreadsheet. And 2 separate years now, one because of drought, one because of cold temperatures, high elevation, 6,500 feet. He determined on July 1st that he was going to be out of feed September 1st. And he was right in both cases. They bought hay from their neighbor who didn't know they were going to be short at that time. They made arrangements to early wean some calves and buy some other supplemental feed. So just a great example of how that can be done. Also helps to have experienced extension agronomists that have done research, including digging up lots of roots. And Steve Franson likes to show the blizzard of new white roots indicating the health of the plants. Well, some of the numbers, we put on 5 workshops. You see the locations there. And a lot of our students were university, some research, but mostly extension. A lot of NRCS and some soil conservation district people. And then it varied on industry. I think we had a producer or two, but they were kind of producer on the side of being a professional. But a total of 165 students. Now, that's not a huge number, and I know, you know, our deans and directors want us to have several thousand contacts. But for a 3-day period, one of the reasons that works is because it is comprehensive, and they get it at the end. We need to change the way we manage this. We also did some evaluations. We did a pre-test and a post-test with basically the same questions. And in this case, the pre-test showed that 53% thought that hoof action from mob grazing will increase organic matter in soil. And of course, if that were true, discs and moldboard plows would be good, right? But that answer is false. It's the rest. And we also showed significant gain in the post-test on purity, PLS, and where the energy is stored in grasses, how to calculate stocking rate. One of the products from the previous grant was this Pasture and Grazing Management in the Northwest guide. That's 200 pages and is very comprehensive. Some of the highlighted chapters are the irrigation, grazing cell design and installation, especially with irrigation systems. Jim Gerrish had prepared that, and it's the only one that I know of that covers that area. And that is available if you do a search. This was meant to complement our normal Grazing Academy, which is put on every year. And again, we didn't want to duplicate that. That was in place. It was already running, very applied, and it's designed for producers. But now, hopefully, if a county agent gets a call, they can answer a question that somebody that might have attended this say, well, now, remind me again why this happens. And so hopefully that will happen. And we have other things on our website there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. And we actually have a couple of minutes for questions.
You have a really wide regional area that you always can give these presentations in. I'm wondering if it was difficult to get all the presenters and the instructors that you had and go state to state to state. We're doing some regional stuff in the Midwest, and that's been an issue.
Well, having the travel funding supported by SARE was key, and we actually enjoy working together. And it just worked very well. Our team had, you know, a variety of personalities, which helps. And
how many instructors did you have?
Well, it varied. In some of them, it was almost 10 or 11 instructors to about 25 students. So, you know, we would have a geneticist come in usually and do the genetics. We'd have as an agronomist, most of us are pretty good in soils, but we would bring in that, or a weed scientist, and whatever we needed. And would be happy to share this curriculum with anybody that's interested, because that's a SARE grant, and that'll be part of the final product.